Okay, good morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Move into our prayer. We got a lot to cover today, so let's get into the relationship with the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. How grateful we are for the opportunity we have to come together with others to study your word, to understand it, to apply it in our lives, Father. Pray this morning your Spirit will use us and your Spirit and your Son. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Okay, I ask Cooper what we're going to be singing. Page 214. Now, I love this hymn. 214, All the Way My Savior Leads. All the Way My Savior Leads. Let's stand and sing together.
All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercies, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell. For I know, whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know, whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me. Gives me grace for every trial, leads me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of His love. Perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit clothed immortal wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let's begin with some requests in regard to our prayers. I understand yesterday, but if there is a change of
Brian Wise,
and he's going to work 4 hours a week, and each day, and so slowly coming together and all of that, and it seems to be recovering very well. And any other change on that? Okay.
Not as far as I know.
All right. And I just talked to Tish, and she's doing fine. She's having a lot of trouble in regard to her physical body, with all the new things that happened in the surgery and adjusting to getting ready for the taking the work that should be going on for liver and kidney and all. So please be in prayer for Tish and Leslie is helping her, so please be in prayer there. And any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes.
Pray for Kit and Julia. They are not feeling well today.
Either one of them are.
Correct.
Oh.
They're not feeling well. Hopefully that they can rest up.
Okay, thank you. When to be in prayer. Wow.
Pray for Jimmy. He has COVID, and the doctor said yesterday that if his oxygen level went down just 2 degrees, he needs to go to the hospital for oxygen. But he's on all the breathing machines and all that at home, but they just want to make sure that he doesn't go completely down.
Jim is the father of two of my grandchildren. So let's please be in prayer for Jim. And he's just battling right now, so let's please be in prayer, God dealing with him. Any other prayer requests? Yes?
Safe business travel for Debbie this week.
Okay, she's going to be traveling this week. We'll be in prayer, absolutely. Yes, sir?
Please be in prayer for the Liberty Youth Camp that's coming up at the end of June. Our registration officially closed yesterday. We have about 50 campers right now. We have a bunch of staff, close to 50. No, we literally have 43 staff and 50 campers.
One-on-one.
So yeah, there'll be a lot of one-on-one time. We the specific prayer requests are: one, decisions about what are we going to do and how are we going to align things with all the staff so that they can serve and not become overwhelmed with staff running around. And then also the teaching. So I've asked Fassel and Phil to do a majority of the teaching at camp. So prayers for those for that teaching as well. And then just all the plans and preparations, and that the Holy Spirit will keep us focused on the point.
Okay.
What are we trying to do here, and what does he want us to do here, and that's the point.
All right, people, that's a powerful prayer request. So let's go to God the Father, praying regard to watching, guarding, and getting things done at the conference. Please be in prayer for John Hence, as he continues to... Actually, I guess I could say he's pretty much completely healed now and doing well. Now, let me talk to you a minute. God created man. Then he created a man, a wife for a man, and a help, to be a helpmate to him. Now, let me just talk about a few people. First of all, let's talk about Brian and his wonderful wife, Larry. He needed her help. She was there. She stayed at the hospital and was a major part of his surgery. Mike has been given by the Lord, Betsy, and he was in severe problems with his heart, and she came in and worked with him at the surgery, and so he's thankful for that. Now I want to talk about another wonderful wife, mine. God has given me a wonderful woman in Judith, and I've been under for about 4 or 5 years now. Would that be about right?
Well, what do you mean, with your stroke?
Yeah.
No, what?
No, the down.
Oh, when you were having the issues?
Yeah.
So, yeah, about 5 years.
About 5 years. This woman has fought all the way through. And when I say that is, she's fought me. Because I had it in my mind that I already breathed when I was speaking. And I really did. I thought I was doing fine breathing. But I'm not. So she is fighting with me, came through, and finally said, if you don't want to breathe, you can die. And I thought, well, that isn't a very nice thing to have to say to me. But she really demanded that I learn to breathe. Last week, Chris was saying, I ought to listen to your wife and put it on your notes to pray, to breathe. And so giving much information in regard to that, I give thanks for my wife, as I'm sure these other men I just named, I'm sure that every husband thanks God for his wife, even if he isn't suffering any kind of medical problem. So I'm very thankful for the grace of God in bringing this woman to come and help me and guide me, and just pressure. Keep saying it over and over. Got to think. Got to breathe. You got to breathe. And so I'm going to breathe this morning, and every morning, every time that I'm in speaking, dealing with that. Okay. Now, there's so few people here. What do you think about offering?
I'll make a run through there.
Huh? We're going to be talking about the church in a little while. Phil did a great job in talking about the church. And so, people, we have responsibilities. The young people have to be, we got a financial problem there. The internet, a great problem there. Here, taking care of the various things we have here. So, with these things in mind, we have a privilege to be a part of the plan of God with the area of our finances. So let's first of all go into prayer and then have an offertory. Heavenly Father, as we study the church going to Jerusalem to help the Jewish believers under battle, suffering, and then in other areas, suffering, and believers given the opportunity to support financially the help of others. So, Father, we pray now that you receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you'll use this assembly for the spreading of the gospel, teaching of the Word of God. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. Okay, insight of the mystery. So let's begin with the word of prayer and then move into our study this morning. Does anyone not have the hand in for insight of the mystery? I'm sorry that Kit and his wife are down, because I'll tell you what, I'm very thankful to Kit going through and putting this together so that I can have it to pass out and put on the internet. So very thankful to Kit and in prayer. And enjoy Kit teaching on Wednesday night. He studies the Hebrew very well, and excellent teaching. So we got Chris here, Phil teaching, and I'm just so thankful. I'm overwhelmed with the help of God has given to this small assembly to have three super teachers. It's just amazing that God has given to us. I know large churches that don't have somebody in there to teach the Word of God with a depth of it. And yet we've got several here. And to me, that is just so amazing what is being done in regard to the teaching of the Word of God. So with these in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the study, insight of the mystery. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God. And now, Father, we pray your Spirit will open us to advanced doctrine, clear doctrine, more doctrine of truth in your Word. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. I would go to start with Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8, which He made abundant on us in all wisdom and insight. See that phrase? In all wisdom and insight. Look at that word, insight. Close to wisdom, close to the understanding of the word wisdom, but this word, insight, emphasizes to think, understanding. By this refers to understanding of a specific cause in our study. Look at the word in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 28. When all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had handed down on judged, they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was on him to administer justice. But it just not the matter of being simple, simply the wisdom of God. They saw that they wanted the specific wisdom, a specific wisdom from God. That wisdom of God, specific wisdom of God in the administration of justice. Just to lay it in real quick, this would be a good prayer every day for our own country. Praying not only for wisdom, but for justice in God's perspective. Now, look at the only second time the Greek word is used, translated insight, in the New Testament. This is in the book of Luke, chapter 1, beginning of Luke, verse 17. And it is he, John the Baptist, who will go as a forerunner before him, Jesus Christ, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to their children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. What does it mean, the attitude of the righteous? In our verse, attitude of the righteous. What does that mean? The understanding of the specific wisdom of the Lord, that the Lord will be ready, people will be ready for His rule, Jesus Christ's rule in Israel. That's what this means. Now, we go from that to our study in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8. In all wisdom and insight, or understanding of the new rule of Jesus in the church age. This will introduce the opening of the mystery of the will of Jesus Christ. Remember, He is not in the Old Testament. Jesus came in the beginning of the new age, the church age. Now, I want to take you right into the sight, our understanding, the understanding and insight, our understanding from Jesus. By showing this from Luke 23:34, from Jesus Christ on the cross. Luke 23:34, but Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. They do not know what they are doing. These things were not known until the Holy Spirit came and made these things understandable to them. That's the only reason. Now, we are ready for Ephesians 1:9. He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His kind intention, which He purchased in Him. He made known. Now, just to let you know the correct Greek here, and I'm not going to go through all of that, the studying of it, but the best translation is from the Greek is having made known. The Greek word is a little different from that which we might expect. We would have expected the Greek word to be a Greek word, gnosko, G-I-N-O-S-K-O, gnosko, which means to know, to become aware, or to understand. But our word is new. It's stronger in that it means to make known, to make revealed, or to declare. I want you to appreciate what God is doing here in verses 8 and 9. The word before us, having made known, had most likely come from the making, coming into being, of a word meaning part, to double part to be the word, to know, and meaning determine, cause to happen, or cause to make known. The word means causing to know something that he previously did not know. Make us know aware of things we previously did not know, or comprehend, or even understand. That's what Christ prayed for on the cross. So, you can grasp this word. Let's read Matthew 10:26. Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be made known. You understand that? God is saying here in the church age is the starting of the revelation, the revealing of these truths. Now I hope you grasp this meaning, causing to know something that you previously did not know. This refers to a knowledge or revelation which previously was hidden. Hidden. But now makes known new information or unknown understanding is now being made known. Now, to help you verse with verses 8 and 9, the verb having been known is what we call in the Greek an aorist particle, active participle. Now, big deal. I told you I'm not going to go too much into the Greek from here on. I don't know what happened, but I'm just not going to go into teaching. But when it can be beneficial to you, when it can be beneficial to your understanding the text, I'll spend that time to show you that. So let's take a look on the aorist active participle. I want you to know what this means. This tells us that the action of the verb precedes the action of the main verb. So the question arises, what's the main verb? This was given in verse 8, which he made to advantage to us. This means that by continually studying the Word of God, God will lavish on you information that was not known until this time in the church age. But you have to give constant time in the study of the Word of God. It was known before knowledge. It was known before all of this, like it was before time, but not known throughout all the Bible until the church age. And now it is being made known. But you have to study the Word of God to have it known to you. But you have to give constant time in the study of the Word of God. In other words, God will lavish on us continually new knowledge of His Word. But this requires daily going to the Word of God and have it continually revealed to you. You have to find a pastor, teacher, who devotes his time in the study of the Word of God. There is no substitute for the study of the Word of God. And the more you are lavished of biblical truth, understanding doctrine, lavished in it, the more you can pray, more you can witness more effectively, and joy in your own soul. Now, Ephesians 1:9, having made known unto us the mystery. This is a rich word here. To make known is the issue that God is making known new truths to people in the church age. This word will be used here and several times in Ephesians 3, where God desires to make known to us the mystery. So it has always been a mystery. God wants to make it known now. This verb is used to emphasize that we must come daily, in the day by day, to the study of the mystery. God considers believers in the church age ready to learn wonderful things about God and in His own plan. God has made this mystery known to believers that they may know in no other way than in the study of the Word of God. Few pastors and teachers want to spend time in the study of the mystery. This is so important for the knowing of these truths. But Satan and other humans have fought over and over to prevent believers from knowing these mysteries. For decades, Satan has tried his best to stop those truths of the mystery to be known and studied by them. Now, for centuries, hundreds of years, believers have been martyred to stop them from the study of the Word of God for centuries. And they are suffering today, right now, throughout the world to stop them from learning the mystery. Paul wrote the mystery in several books of the Bible, but it was set away, hidden, until after the time of the 15th century. 15th century of the church age. The history of this time in Germany includes others like Martin Luther, fought to make the Bible something people could read and in their own language. There were men like John Wycliffe and William Tyndale were martyred, killed in getting the Bible out in English. John Wycliffe, born 3030, that's where we're looking at now, died in December of 1384. Now, he wrote the first Bible in English. He was buried by the Roman Catholic Church and later exhumed and burned in light of his English Bible. English originated in the 5th century, 5th to 7th century A.D. Just came into being. But it was not until around 1300 that the Bible in English was brought before people by John Wycliffe. Think about that. Now let's look at Jane Hus, H-U-S. Born 1369, Bohemia. He died in 1414 in Germany. He spoke the Czech language, which originated around 500 A.D. So God is bringing forth the languages so He can make the mystery known, and translated the Bible into it, as did. The Roman Catholic Church imprisoned John Hus for his beliefs. He was condemned as a heretic. In 1414, he was burned at the stake by the Roman Catholic Church. What is interesting is that the Roman Catholic Church used copies of Wycliffe's Bible to kindle the fire to burn John Hus. By 1455, there were over 400 Bibles being printed. That's all. Now we go to William Tyndale. Born 1496, died 1536, not very many years. He believed, listen to this young man, he believed from the Bible that people have a right to study the Bible. If you study his reading, he was strong that people have a right to study the Bible. He also believed that the only source for Christian doctrine was the Bible. He also believed that the Bible did not support the papacy, and Christians were called by God to study and teach the Bible. He was executed by the Roman Catholic Church because he translated the Bible into English. He was called the Morning Star for being the beginning of the Reformation. Tyndale Bible set down the foundation of the Bible in English that we study today. Now let's take a look at Martin Luther. Born 1483 in Germany. Died 1546 in Germany. German language was originated in the first century of the church. Luther originated the first German Bible for the common people. Every one of these men wanted people, Christians, to have a Bible and to read it themselves. That was their dedication. All these men and others were responsible for the Reformation. They were responsible for the translation of the Bible for the people to read the Bible. That's what they came for. The Roman Catholic Church sought to control the Word of God and make sure not many people could even read it. They wanted to keep the Bible written in Latin. And as you ascend, as you can see, the learning of the mystery from God was kept a secret by Satan, by the Roman Catholic Church. Multitudes of people began to read in their own language so that they could read the Bible. So I want to repeat that. Multitudes of people took on to learn how to read their own language that they could learn to have the Bible. When I was reading this, excuse me, I was thinking of Bill Zignes in Mexico. They gave the Bible to Mexicans. A lot of them couldn't even read. And the one that I love is a man that stood on his chair and just had the Bible, page like that. He couldn't even read. But to own that Bible was that much to him. And that's what a lot of people did. They used the Bible to learn their language so they could learn the Bible. They believed that people had the right to read and study the Bible. They believed the study of the Bible and the mystery of the Bible. They believed in it. The Roman Catholic Church used Satan for fighting against the Bible and prevent Christians from learning the mystery from God. That's what the Roman Church used. The Roman Catholic Church keeping the people from even reading, coming to know the mystery of the Bible. These men early on proclaimed against the Roman Catholic Church from the Bible for using the Bible only for truth for five major points. Sola Christia, Scripture alone. Secondly, sola gratia, grace alone. Three, sola fide, faith alone. Four, solus Christus, Christ alone. And five, sola Deo gloria, glory to God alone. People, I want you to just think about this. Go from the first century, time of the men and the apostles, Paul, Peter, these men, then it was cut down and put into nothing. And it was just hidden for hundreds of years. And these men came out and said, no, it's Scripture alone. This was not believed at that time. Grace alone. Faith alone. Christ alone. Glory to God alone. These five declarations were the foundation of the teaching by Paul of the mystery of the New Testament. Then Satan used men and women to get the Bible stopped in Germany, France, England, then throughout the world. The Roman Catholic Church did all that it could to stop just the reading of the Bible. It is said, and by the way, people, today there's a great movement to stop the reading and have even owning reading the Bible throughout the world today. Now, it is said in 1845, well, that's before I was born, 1845, that the popes and the Roman Catholic Church killed more than 50 million families who wanted to read and own the Bible. Killed because that's what they wanted. I hope you understand, for some 15 centuries, the study of the mystery from God remained basically unstudied by man. Today, men and women suffer trying to read and study the Bible throughout the world right now. It is so sick that people in English, few students study the Bible and teach about the mysteries of the Bible. That is so sickening. There's so few. I hope you see now strongly value the study of the Word of God is to people. It is very important that the sixth chapter of Hebrews laid out the importance of studying the mystery of the Bible. We've looked at it before. I want to read it again slowly and think. I want you to think about it. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the elementary teachings. People, I love that. Leaving it. You got to know those. You just got to know that. Now we can move on. Leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ. Leaving it. Let us press on to maturity. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works of faith toward God. Let those things down. You got to know those, so it's time to move on. Of instruction about washing and laying on of hands, and, listen, about the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. These should be just basic, unbelievable basics, and move on. Now, I love the next line, Hebrews 6:3, and this we will do if God permits. And that's where we are, if we're going to allow God to permit us to study the Word of God with these simple things, elementary teachings about Christ to maturity, laying again, you already have it, a foundation of repentance from the dead, from dead works. Phil's been talking about the study of the New Testament with
Titus
in having your alive works alive, not dead. And then faith toward God. That's basic. That's basic of instruction about washing and laying on of hands, and about the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Basics. So basic. Get them and move on. And this we will do, if God permits. After the first 100 years, the advanced teaching of the Word of God was slowly being put aside until the beginning of the 13th and 14th century. The elementary teaching became the primary teaching throughout the world. Then it slowly started being taught in advanced doctrine, and then it will become dark again. Then by the middle of the 1800s, the teaching became virtually empty of sound doctrine. Near the close of the 1800s, they started a slow teaching of mature doctrines. Then, by the growth of the evangelical movement, there came advanced teaching of the Word of God, from sound teaching of the rapture to the second advent. But today, we are back to a slow teaching of mature doctrine. Even today, most churches are still in elementary teaching. Not many men are dedicated to learning and studying the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek of the Bible. The Christians of the world today are now dedicated themselves under adversity to read the Bible. Many countries are not allowed to own and read the Bible. Thank God that we can still do this in America, that we can still have it. Go to Walmart, get it for $2, and then read it. Find a pastor who studies. Now there's your job.
Yeah.
Find the teaching and start studying the mysteries. My dear people, as long as we have the freedom in this country, let us dedicate ourselves to the study of the Bible. Note in Hebrews 6, 1 and 2, it is clear that we should move well beyond understanding of repentance, dead works, faith toward God. That's basic. You start, move on. And teaching beyond the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. People, these are basic things that they should know. I guess I think if I were to get back into the flesh for a moment and think about it, was in football. Just got to where the pro team was just not making it. Wasn't getting there. And so the coach says, okay, men, this is the Bible. And it was Jim, well, I've got his name, but he said, coach, can you slow down just a little? And everybody laughed loudly, wonderingly. And but that's basic here. These are things you've got to learn. What I love about a history in America, in the Harvard, do you know what you had to do in Harvard to learn the Bible there? You already had to know Greek and Hebrew. You already had to know it. And then you went to school and they started studying Greek and Hebrew. That didn't last long, but that's the way it was. That's the way. You didn't go there to learn. See, and I went to seminary to learn Hebrew, to learn Greek, to learn Aramaic, to learn these things. Not then. You had to know it before you even started. And then you would start in. And that's what I'm saying here. There are just some things we should just begin with. It begins with. And we're ready then now to move on to advanced, mature mystery teaching. Now, here we're trying to grasp the doctrines of Ephesians in our study. And now we move to the declaration that God will declare to us the knowing of the mystery of His will. The word mystery was used to refer to secret teachings. Mystery. Anything hidden, unrevealed. The word came to be used in the religious sphere in the late B.C., not early, late B.C. Mystery cults in the 7th century B.C. That's nearing the end of the B.C. period. Basic features of the mystery cults included guarding the secrets also as a secret initiation process. The Greek word here is mysterion. It is a technical word in the New Testament epistles. It's a technical word in the New Testament. The word was originally used to depict the dogmas and the secrets of the Greek fraternities of the ancient world. And then the Bible came along. The Bible refers to advanced teaching of Jesus Christ and truths of the church age. It refers to doctrine hidden. This is seen in Daniel. Oh, Daniel. Old Testament. Look at Daniel chapter 12, verse 32. Chapter 12, verse 9. He said, "Go your way, Daniel, for these words are concealed and sealed up, until the end time." That's the church age. Otherwise, the Old Testament not known. This was hidden from the Old Testament saints and communicators, but is now revealed to the church age apostles. This brings us to the concept of the doctrine of mystery. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9, having made known to me the mystery. In the New Testament, there are some 27 uses of mysterion. 20 are used by Paul. 3 in the Synoptic Gospels in parallel text, while the remaining 4 are in the book of Revelation. If we look at 1 Corinthians, we find the introduction to the use of this word. It is first used in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, where we find a general use referring to all the doctrines of the New Testament, and it even refers to the manner these mysteries are to be learned. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages of our glory. That's a lot to think about. God's wisdom in a mystery, that's where you and I are, the hidden wisdom hidden by God in ages before the glory of the church, or even of the age of Israel. Now, then we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, where Paul emphasizes that this is the primary function of every pastor teacher. Here's the primary function of every pastor teacher, the stewards of the mysteries of God. This is what the pastor should be. Stewards, teachers of the mysteries of God. Now let's go through a list of topics under the specific term of mystery in the New Testament. We start with the with Paul, and every pastor teacher function is in the Word of God. Now, what we're going to look at, I'm going to go pick up for you to begin our study the main doctrines, primary doctrines in the Bible that are related to mystery. And I'll just tell you in thing, they all deal with the church and they all deal with Jesus Christ, not the age of Israel. The first one, the body of Christ. The body of Christ. The calling of the Gentiles into the Christian church, so designated a mystery to the Jewish people. Ephesians chapter 1, 9, 10, 3, 8 through 11. But let's look at Colossians 1:25. This is important. I was made a minister to the stewardship from God toward all me, toward be bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God. This is true of every man given the gift of pastor teacher. Now look at verse 26. That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, New Church, New Testament, to whom God willed to make known. Okay, now here's what he made known that he's been hiding all the way in the past. Willed to make known what the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
So here it is. Thank you. Good. So here it is. The first one we're looking at is the body of Christ taught in the mystery of the church. Now, every one of these will have that title. Every one of these have to do with what you and I are supposed to be doing, studying the Word of God. Second one, the bride. The union between Christ and all believers. People like to talk about this passage, talk about marriage. Let me tell you what it's about. It's about your relationship with Jesus Christ. The union between Christ and all believers of the church age, symbolized by the marriage union. Ephesians 1:31 and starting. For this reason, a man should leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Ephesians 6:19, and pray in my behalf, that speech may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. So the second major thing we're looking at is the bride. Third, the local church. That's what this room right here is about. The local church, Revelation 1:20. For indwelling of Jesus Christ in every believer. The reason that we're not reading that, we just read Colossians 1, 26 and 27, so I'll not reread it. But note what it says. The indwelling of Jesus Christ in every believer. That's part of the mystery. 5, I love this, the mystery of godliness. I wanted so much to interrupt Phil speaking this morning because he talked about godliness. And I went, hey, guess what? But here it is, the mystery of godliness. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, by common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. That's a mystery. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, this is Jesus Christ, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. People, godliness is the mystery that you and I should be studying all the time. 6, the rapture of the church. 1 Corinthians 15, 15, 1 through 57. Which of course includes the resurrection of all believers. It's part of the church. The mystery. 7, blindness of Israel. It's part of the mystery. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. And then finally 8, of the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 13, 11, Jesus answered, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been granted. This is what's been granted to us, the kingdom of heaven. This should be part of our study, day in and day out, as we grow in the Word of God, open study the Word of God, together, studying the Word of God, going through the Word of God, talking about the Word of God. These are the things you and I ought to have over and over in our life, in our soul. So, in the mystery, and then all of these are in the mystery. The mystery, quoted, the body of Christ, the bride, the local church, the indwelling of Jesus Christ, the mystery of godliness, translation or rapture of the church, blindness of Israel, kindness, the kingdom of heaven. Every time we have mystery in the New Testament, it pertains to some facet of Christ and the church. You can look at Ephesians 5:32. The reason for that are called mystery is because they are revealed. They're not revealed in the Old Testament. And they require the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Which is why Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 16 speaks of the mind of Christ as the Holy Spirit. Study that. Jesus as the Christ is the mystery revealed. Different passages. So, these are the things that we're going to be looking at in the doctrine of the mystery. And this will be where we'll begin next Sunday, taking a look at the mystery, the doctrine of mystery. But I hope that you're able to hold in all these things that we studied about the history of hidden from the Roman Catholic Church, trying to keep people from owning a Bible, having a Bible, reading the Bible, studying the Bible. And these men killed, martyred, because They believed that we had a right to have a Bible and to study and know the Bible. So this is where we'll begin our study. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, how grateful we are for the mystery of Christ. How grateful we are for the mystery of the Word. How grateful we are, Father, that we have the freedom here in America, in Plano, to Dallas, to come together, study your Word. Study the mystery. Grasp it. Understand it. Love it. Grow. Become mature. Become mature in knowing these mysteries. Pray, Father, this will happen in this assembly. We pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.